Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, but not GM today, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
James Ross.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
Edward Croft.
Yeah, we traded Ben in and we got an Ed.
Yes.
We upgraded.
It's like so, Ben, but taller and prettier.
I feel like Ben's going to quit.
His voice is less like smooth, silky.
That is true.
He does have a chocolatey voice.
What he's gained in the appeal to one sense, he's definitely lost in the other.
Unfortunately, we're delivering through only one medium.
Yeah.
And it's the wrong one for you.
Whoa!
Your beauty and attractiveness will not help you now.
I'm going to hack your website and cover it in pictures of my gorgeous face.
I bring you an alpha male and this is how you greet him.
Beaterized.
So, tell us a bit about yourself, Ed.
Hello, my name is Ed. I'm a comedian and I travel the world doing comedy songs.
And you're here today because you have in development currently a little app called...
Story Jam.
Tell us a bit about it.
It's a storytelling role-playing app game. It's a game where you play by passing an app and you narrate scenes which make a story because the app tells you what to narrate and the things it tells you make a story. So you make the story, but the app helps you make the story.
So basically it's a way of having a almost like a GM-less RPG.
Yeah, it's GM-less RPG and it's super fast playing.
Wicked. So what we thought we'd do today is we'd have a game of it and have a test and play and see how it plays out. And I get to play. I don't have to GM.
His little face.
I'm so happy.
So excited.
I'm so happy. So without further ado, I am going to pass over to you, Ed Croft, and you are going to lead us on a merry chase with this app.
Great. So soon we'll be passing the app, but I'll start by reading out a bit of story and I'll read out some tutorials as we go as well so everyone knows what they're doing, because no one's played this before. Well, I mean, lots of people have, but not you guys.
Yes.
So here is the background of our story.
Ooh.
Yeah. Can you insert some? Great. Here we go.
I think he thinks we're higher budget than we are.
This is a post-apocalyptic thing loosely inspired by Mad Max, very heavily inspired by Mad Max. Hubtown is the only functioning settlement in the wasteland. It's resource-rich and the population grows daily. Everybody wants to be in charge. Hubtown sits like a pimple in the desert, a shanty town of corrugated iron under a pillar of black smoke. The gates of Hubtown stand open to a constant stream of trucks and bikes, scavengers, travellers, fugitives. Survivors gather there like cockroaches, rebuilding civilization one stick at a time. Hubtown is going to be big, and this is the time to take the power.
Wowzers!
Begin. So there's an implication there that...
Civilization's made of sticks.
Yeah. Civilization's made of sticks.
Yep.
It's our currency and our food!
Do we know why Hubtown is where it is and why it is? Like, is there a central reason why it's there? Is it on an alluvial floodplain?
I feel like you're jumping the gun.
Right, okay.
Essentially, all this stuff is for you to decide and state whenever you want to.
Right.
The story's yours.
Freedom, I don't know what to do with it.
I have a great enthusiasm.
Alex, tell us what's real.
No, I run a very tight ship here. You see, all control is in my hands.
Who am I?
This is going to scare them.
What do I roll?
Lynn's having a breakdown.
Where am I? Why?
So, we've got our opening brief. What happens next?
So, I've got a tutorial screen that's come up next, so I'll just read this out aloud. Story Jam is a storytelling game we play by passing this app. Our only goal is to bedazzle each other with our storytelling. The app guides us through the story and offers us cool ideas to build on and shows us shiny pictures. To get started, we'll answer three questions about the story world. So, question one. What bizarre law is the current leader of Hubtown now enforcing?
Like, I mean, you want it to be something that actually matters rather than everyone has to wear hats on Thursdays only.
Why? Everyone gets recycled when they hit a certain age.
Oh, it's not bizarre, though.
Everyone has to be clean-shaven on their entire body at all times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lovely.
I like that.
Very Mad Max.
That's good.
Should we go with that one? It's a group choice.
Yeah.
I'm running short. Rats are holy.
yeah. I like that.
Rats are holy is cool.
Yeah, rats are holy.
I'm running dry. I've got nothing
it's
better.
It's got to be a bizarre one, is it?
Yeah, I mean, those are all pretty bizarre.
Everyone.
If any of those were a law.
Yeah, everyone has to shave below the eyebrows.
I can't believe I'm saying this for the first time.
Literally everything.
Why don't we open this up to democracy? This is a dangerous game I'm playing, but we could actually just.
Democracy is weak and decadent.
I'm going to vote for rats and holy.
The holy rats.
So
what do you reckon?
What are our two choices? Rats and shaving.
Yeah, I think it's rats and shaving. Okay. I mean,
I'm going to vote shaving.
I'm stoked, but I'm going to go with rats just so I put my penny in.
James.
Rats, I think.
Then my vote doesn't matter.
Yay! Welcome to democracy. So rats are holy. That's the first. Question answered. Question two. What unusual device is issued to everybody who becomes a citizen of Hubtown?
Is it
Geiger counter?
A rat.
That was going to be my go-to. Geiger counter.
A rat.
Geiger rat. An egg.
An egg. And you've got to look after it.
Yeah.
Oh. You're given an egg.
And then,
from
and then,
an unknown creature.
Oh, yeah. Oh, a seedling.
And then you've got to train it to fight. But it could be all sorts of different
post-apocalyptic
animals. Some people get a salmon. And some people get a velociraptor.
I mean, this is too cool to not use, isn't it, right? It's got to be an egg that you have to nurture and hatch. But if your egg cracks before it's born... Death penalty.
Wow!
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that also answers the question of what bizarre law, right?
Rats are also holy, though.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them will be rat eggs.
Why would you give you a rat
egg? Rat eggs. Really strong radiation.
All animals lay eggs now.
Right.
So when your thing hatches, you've got no idea what it is.
I think they should be slightly different sizes so you can start to guess, but you're
fine. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. So some people have an elephant egg and they're rolling it down the street.
I think it's a deer.
Okay, and question three. What abundant resource makes Hubtown so settled?
Eggs.
Yeah. I kind of walked into this thinking maybe we'll go for something that's like hard SF, like it'll be gritty. But no, eggs, that's holy.
Again, democracy, your benevolent dictatorship will have. Well, you could just take over during your storytelling part.
Hot vents. Which create perfect egg hatching.
Oh, like geothermal vents.
They come from underground. I presume they were like metal vents from an underground facility.
I meant natural ones.
Oh, machine.
Yeah, could they be like metal vents? And so there's something underground. They don't even know it. They don't question why there are hot air vents. There are just lovely hot air vents.
Some of them are natural and some of them are grated.
And we're so used to them that we don't really think of the ones with grates as being unnatural.
No.
Yeah.
It's like the naturally occurring grating.
Yeah. The great advent of
after the fall of Rome, like there, it was thought inconceivable that such buildings could be built by the people who followed them, so they must be natural formations.
Entergewirken.
Yeah. Oh, you beat me to it! That was the one bit of old English I can remember.
Entergewirken.
And people Weird frequently build their houses on top of them because it means they stay warm overnight when the desert temperatures drop. To a significant degree.
Nice. Okay.
But it means you have to spend the day outside because you don't want to sleep in your hot house when it's being heated both
from beneath and from outside. Yeah.
And the best houses have sort of clever tunnelling of light, so obviously, the hot air is sort of piped around.
Again, I feel like we're jumping the gun, but this is awesome, by the way.
Can I check, are these steam vents, or are they just warm air?
Just
warm air.
Some can be steam.
Some occasionally release small amounts of steam.
Ace, and one final question. What is the tone of your story? It might be bright, or gritty, or fast-paced, or made out of rainbows and puppies.
Incredibly hard time.
I'm a fan of always going fairly serious, because it means any silly things you have. Like this, for
you
example...
You have to treat them seriously.
It could be like labyrinth-style 80s at the moment. You know how there's like these fantastic elements that are silly could still exist in a real world?
The people in the story are reacting emotionally, realistically to... the eggs and
the holy rats.
To them it's real.
So
it's
our
hard.
Style is naturalistic.
Yeah. Except for the kind of Pokemon thing.
That's quite a challenge. It's just like naturalistic Pokemon, you know. A wild Pidgey appears. Oh god, a wild animal. Thankfully I've had a tetanus shot. I'm now going to leave and not capture this thing because that would be incredibly irresponsible.
Naturalistic.
Yeah, let's do that.
With fantastical elements.
Okay.
Super. So new tutorial screen. We'll now pass the app and each choose a character. Tell everybody which character you picked, and if you really like, you could show them the awesome picture. I've got the first choice of characters. My choices here are Road Warrior, Trader, or Tech Shaman.
Wowzers!
I'm kind of going to have to go with the Tech Shaman.
Why wouldn't you?
So I am the Tech Shaman, Alex.
Oh, nice.
The app is to you,
okay.
Sir.
I'm choosing between Cult Leader... Tank Girl Battle Babe and Demolition Man. I think I will go with Cult Leader, because that's basically me now.
Yeah, that's exactly how it is. We all believe in you, Alex.
It's the cult of sarcasm. It's doing amazingly well.
Is it?
Schismatic. Next player, choose character.
What are your choices?
I could be the Wasteland Kid, the Mad Doctor, or the Mutant.
Oh, but they're all really good ones for you, though.
Yeah. They're all the description of you.
I think more Mad Doctor and Mutant, really. It's a toss-up between those two.
The Mutant Doctor Wasteland Child that is James Ross.
We've really got Tech Shaman and Cult Leader, haven't we? I think Mutant would be the biggest contrast to those, so I'm going to be the Mutant.
Mutant it is.
Okay, my options are the Psychic, the Scientist, and the radiation zombie. That's tough. I'm not going to be a radiation zombie. I don't think that would be very exciting.
Oh, that would be a double act of the mutant and the zombie. Slamming into things repeatedly.
Mutant, zombie and mutants.
Yeah!
Friends forever. They shake hands, one of them falls off.
Channel 4 on Friday nights.
A naturalistic adventure.
They've all got it spectacular hair.
This is hard. I'm going to be the scientist.
Nice. Going against type there, because you're such an illogical man by day.
I play scientists a lot.
My options are gang boss, gun-toting priest, and mechanic. I quite like the idea of being a priest, and I can tie in with...
Tech shaman, cult leader, and a priest.
Yeah! Class of the religion.
That's holy, okay?
Only to the current leader. Some of you may, of course, be part of that particular belief system. Some of you will have rival belief systems.
That's true.
It's not a belief system, it's the truth.
Okay, well, that answers the question of whose religion that is. It's Alex, whose rat religion?
I am going to be a gun-toting priest.
We'll continue passing the app for the rest of the game, but from now on we'll be taking turns at description. A turn has two parts. First, you describe something about your character, and second, you get to choose something for the other players to describe together. So, my turn. The app says, describe to everybody what you look like and tell us your name. So, I am the Tech Shaman. I am a scrawny young man of about 18, with skin that's blistened by the burning desert sun.
Ooh.
I always have an old calculator on a string around my neck, which is regarded as incredible technology in this world. And I carry a staff made of bits of old metal, which has a laser pointer on the end. And I go around preaching the religion of the underground city. I've seen this underground city and I'm saying that there's a cavern of technological gods, but no one believes me. I'm a mentalist as far as they're concerned. And I'm going to use the name suggester because I only just coded it. So my name is Regina O'Connor. I'm a young woman, not a young man. I'm a young woman Regina is my name. I am the queen of the underground world, as I tell people from my ranting soapbox. And so now it asks me, why do you trade regularly with the hub-town traders? And I've got a choice of three things. I'm going to go with, I want to earn the traders' support for my leadership election.
So, nice.
So I am the tech shaman. This is for you guys to answer. Why do I want to earn the traders' support for my leadership election?
You failed to convince people by shouting at them endlessly. So you're trying democracy. You want to, once you're the leader, you're going to convince everyone to go down and investigate the city.
So you're founding a theocracy?
Yeah, he wants to be elected leader. She wants to be elected leader so that she can then take a party of people down to explore the caverns.
Ah,
and build a new civilization based on the underground.
Yes.
Great. I love it. So that's me. It's under you, Alex.
Okay. Describe to everybody what you look like and tell us your name. Okay, I'm going to go for the suggested name first. Ooh, okay. My name is Johnny Ciccone.
Ooh.
Johnny Ciccone is an incredibly withered old man. There's few strands of hair left streaked across his bald pate. He's vile. Most of his teeth are gone. His nails are blackened. But he insists on dressing in a full three-piece at all times, despite the desert sun.
Brilliant.
And it stinks. He stinks of the BO. But he insists upon it because he's adamant that only through returning and maintaining the old standards will the new standards be born. And he's got a powerful voice, despite a withered frame, and both of his hands are arched in a creeping fashion. And he shuffles everywhere with his Zimmer frame.
Like a rat.
Maybe. Okay. Why am I passing through Hubtown? I am going to select that I want to find a good place to scavenge technology. Okay, I have to ask the group. I am the cult leader. Why do I want to find a good place to scavenge technology?
Do you want to find maybe like proof of the rat religion in some way, shape or form?
You tell me.
You want to enhance rats.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, enhance the rat. Okay.
Yeah. So you're basically a semi-heretic. Like, you believe that they're holy, but you believe that they should be enhanced.
Ooh, okay.
you believe that rats are the future, but can be made better to improve
that's
them.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And rats are the future. I want to pick and choose what I take from the old world.
Yeah. Whereas, like, so the boss who has this bizarre rat holy lore, like, he doesn't believe that rats should be fiddled with. He believes they're beautiful and holy. Exactly.
The only problem with the old war is because it was humans in charge. Change that, and the rest will fall into place. Yeah.
So you are like an alternative to the leader of Hubtown's religion. He's got this rat religion, and you're like a crazy underground rat religion.
He's the Martin Luther.
Yeah. Progressive world.
I don't know. Am I a progressive or am I a rat extremist?
Martin Luther was sort of both.
I think I have a license to just be mental.
Great. Well, that makes two of us.
Pass to muted. Begin turn. Describe to everybody what you look like and tell us your name. Okay, my name is going to be Nut McKenna. Nut McKenna. So I am a mutant in the traditional hard SF sense, in the sense that I've just got lots of impaired function. That's me. I am riddled, and I do mean riddled, with largely benign tumours. They are sprouting from everywhere on my face, up my arms. Many of them have teeth protruding from them.
Oh.
I am markedly more disgusting on my left side than my right side. When I'm starting conversations with people, I make sure that I give them one particular hemisphere of my face and earn their trust before slightly turning
around. So you let them see your good side?
Yep.
The left side, for my notes, the left side is gross.
The left side is the one that is where it is harder to conceal my obvious tremendous, bulbous, oozing
quivering
physical impairments with their own teeth. And
do they sometimes chew?
They to some extent, because there is... I attempted to eat my twin in utero. I only got halfway through the job. So I have a single eye, a weird stubby snout nose, and like this taut sneer.
Get to the reactor, Quaid.
Just protruding from one side of my neck. He is not a resistance leader. It has no capability, it has no independent vocal cords. It's only capable of looking at people with terror and disgust.
Can you be the son of the town's leader?
Yeah, that's the only reason why such an abomination has been allowed to survive this long, is because in the olden days, rich parents would buy their son a pony or an internship into a major merchant bank. I have been allowed to live. Times are hard. So that
you live
is
in
me.
The best vent house in the city.
Yep. I wear just horribly, like, as much clothing as possible at any given time. And I have a long necklace full of teeth, many of which my own. All jagged, disheveled, all sorts of different shapes, sizes, holes. Some of the teeth have holes in them about the size of a human eye. They are really deeply...
I told you, don't give them freedom. They can't handle it.
I can't handle it.
Yeah, that's it. But I have a lovely speaking voice. So...
Let me hear a bit, just a bit.
Like what?
Let me hear your speaking voice.
This is my lovely speaking voice. For the sort of mid-Atlantic twang. Yep, this is what I'm shooting for. This is... welcome to the Starlight Ballroom, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars.
You do all
popping
the backstage
oil.
Announcements.
Say again?
All the backstage announcements. Nothing from on stage. Nothing.
Suddenly all those lottery adverts, you know, it could be you. It's just... It's that. Yep. It's that in... Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh. I love how everyone's got these, like, old American names. It's sounding very Fallout to me.
Yeah, totally. Mm.
Why have you settled down in Hubtown?
You've been allowed to.
So why have you settled down in Hubtown? I was born into it, but the one of these three here which most fits, I think, with what has been discovered so far is I want to kill people without being caught.
I'd say that fits tremendously well.
Yeah, ask the group. I am the mutant. Why do I want to kill people without being caught?
To take their parts to use for improving your own body.
Yep. That is entirely why. Yep.
You got bits sewn onto you.
Yeah.
You don't replace broken with better. You just add stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Got like a lot of extra feet.
This is a very, very dark apocalypse.
Yeah. The apocalypse is not going to be light and fluffy. This is more authentic.
Mike? Great.
Right. I am the scientist. My name is Flash Blaze.
Flash Blaze.
Flash may or may not be a nickname. I'm constantly doing experiments in my large shed, which cause flashes and bangs and smoke pouring out.
And the occasional blaze.
And once or twice.
I don't know, it may or may not be a nickname. Let's say it's not a nickname. Just a coincidence.
Relative determinism.
I'm tall and bulky. I have very wild hair and eyes that appear to move independently half the time. I've always got a big headpiece fixed on, which has multiple like eye kind of lenses, which I kind of flip down, and it's also got two fans on either side over my face to keep me constantly cool because I believe in technology solving our problems. I always wear a lab coat. It's never the same lab coat. It's always got rips and stains and burn marks in different places every day. Under that, I wear dirty t-shirts and, you know, kind of nondescript trousers.
what was trousers like, officer? Oh,
they were just so nondescript. Oh, that'll help.
No.
So the story.
Sorry, it was the moment.
Sorry, tell us how soulful his eyes are.
Yeah.
The story prompt I've been given is, why are you travelling in disguise? my options are all amazing. I want to hide the fact that I'm a woman is quite tempting. I want to assassinate the leader of Hubtown actually seems a bit too obvious to me. Mm. So I'm definitely going with the first option, which is I want to avoid bounty hunters identifying me.
Oh, nice.
I am the scientist. Why do I want to avoid bounty hunters identifying me? That's sort of a question that answers itself. Bounty hunters knowing who I am would be bad. Who can say why?
Because he was...
No! He's carrying the one surviving bounty. The coconut bar. That's what he's got. Nobody can have it. It's his. It's the only one there is.
the leader of Hubtown in his lunacy collects pre-war chocolate bars, and it's the only one he's not got, so there's a massive price on a Nestlé Bounty.
Is this drifting slightly too far into the realm of the ridiculous?
This is completely naturalistic.
Yeah.
It'll be naturalistically acted and portrayed.
Yeah. Why do you have this bounty, though, and why wouldn't you give it up? Was it a gift from your dying father?
You've rediscovered how to make bounties. Fresh ones, new ones, better ones.
It's your guys' decision.
What if bounties contain a load of preservatives and e-numbers that, if you could figure out how to duplicate, would make food much more sustainable in the world?
Like reverse engineer the bounty.
Yeah, reverse engineer the bounty. E-numbers.
So it's an actual bounty.
That's actually a good answer. Yeah. I like that.
So you're doing experiments on the bounty, which is the last known surviving bounty bar, for the e-numbers, which will be incredibly useful.
Preservatives and flavourings.
Yeah.
So we're not just scraping by, we're making a good go of sort of post-apocalyptic civilization. We've got chemical industry going.
It's true.
No, you've got me. I am the chemical industry.
It's talk like that that got you in the bounty in the first place.
Right, so I'm the gun-toting priest. Right, so my name is Locke Coyle.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah, how do I look? So, God, like, everyone has been so good. I have a lot of description anxiety going on.
Are you a boy priest or a girl priest?
I am a lady priest.
Okay. Lady priest.
And I have shaven, not nicely shaven, but like hacked hair, like sticking up in sort of like little patches of it. It's sort of almost deliberately horrible. I travel the wasteland with my friendly gun, which talks to me.
What's it called?
The problem, I can only think of cutesy things.
Do
Snappy.
It.
Snappy. Its name is Snappy. Unless you got a better.
No, that's great. That's cool.
Snappy the gun, who talks to me and tells me where to go. I believe firmly in a religion of purification and of destruction of the corrupt, and thus it ties into my priestliness to preach cleanliness by collecting bounties and hunting down horrible people. Well, anyway, I try to rid the world of crime. I decide what crime is, which really means the gun decides what crime is. The gun whispers to me constantly.
The crime is that the bullet's not in them yet.
Yes. I've got all of the leather belts. Like, I'm a Final Fantasy character. Like, my clothing is basically leather belts. There are other guns strapped to the belts. They're basically all holsters. I'm just covered in guns. Snappy is my favourite, who talks to me.
What kind of gun is Snappy?
Snappy is a shotgun. Nice. Massive shotgun. And so it's all studded leather. And, you know, so it's the sort of thing that if it was a little bit underdone, like, it could be quite erotic, but there's just so many belts. It's really more.
There's no skin.
There's no skin. It might be the odd, like, flash, but it's really not.
And it's
like,
always knuckle.
Yeah. Just, I'm covered in leather belts. They don't impinge on my movement, but I am just covered. Oh, no, they're not covered in guns. It's all bullets. I'm just covered in bullets and other guns, and I clank when I walk so much. Why have you brought a robot to Hubtown? Yeah, I want to find out what's on the robot's locked data drive. This is part of my quest for purity. Like, I hate this robot. It was a criminal. Part of my criminal kind of hunting down thing is I've got to find this robot and then
Previous owner.
Yeah, and its previous owner. Yes, I'm trying to hunt down its previous owner. Yes,
help me, Regina O'Connor. You're our only hope.
Well, so, no, actually, I think the scientist is a better bet. I will just go wibbly wibbly wibbly.
Is the robot a talky robot? Is it able to talk?
Yeah, it is a whiny. Basically, I seem to have turned myself into a gang because Snappy talks to me and the robot does not want to tell. Oh, right. I am the gun-toting priest. Why do I want to find out what's on the robot's locked data drive?
The data drive obviously has the key to the owner's identity on it.
Right.
So that's how it ties into what you were just saying.
Cool. Yeah, we'll take a break and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello? Hello? Oh, I sit there. And talking to this? This? Right. Good. That is odd. Yes. And you, bring me a whiskey. With a rum in it. Yeah, lovely. Yes, so, good evening, peasants. I am Sir Bertrand MacGuffingham. Now, I've been told the tales of my feats of heroism, adventure, and utterly selfless derring-do were spreading far and wide, arcing across the sky like lightning, rending the heavens in twain with their magnitude and ploughing into people's ears like a plough made of me being splendid. Now, the important thing is that I'm excellent, and everyone should know just how excellent I am. So in order to set yet more ears aquiver in anticipation of my every exploit, I would like you, specifically you, to tell your friends about how utterly super I am. Now, according to the technical busybods of Rusty Quill, and trust me, their bods are very busy, if you tell a friend about us and they subscribe to my tales of chivalric daring, then when they send us an email to mail@rustyquill.com with their name and the person who recommended it, they will have an episode dedicated to them. Now, I've no idea what that means, but it sounds jolly lovely. Anyway, once you've done all of that, all you need to do is pop the cash in non-consecutive bills into an envelope and send it along... What? What? What do you mean they don't have to pay? Oh, I am literally never... Don't you test me, sir? Fine, fine, fine. Well, recommend us to your friends and don't pay us and you still get your own episode. Now, if it excuse me, I have to have a serious chat with the underlings about the actual meaning of the word mercenary.
And welcome back.
So, round two. It's my turn, round two. So, the screen tells me, describe something that you do every day because you want to earn the traders' support for your leadership election. So, every day, Regina goes and preaches on her soapbox, and then she goes around the traders and she trades with them the things she's found in the underground, which to her are like great treasures, but to everyone else are useless because a lot of them have burnt out batteries or don't really work.
Well, so the screen's cracked, so she's got to get a new one, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Regina goes around the market stall in the middle of town, trading these things for a pittance of what their value would be if there was someone, cough, scientist, cough, who could make them work again. And by doing that, she's built up a strong relationship with all the traders, and a lot of them greet her warmly in the morning, despite the fact that to the majority of people she's seen as mental. She's quite liked. So it's got me... It's giving me a choice here. It says, today is different. You're about to do something big. Am I going to trade with the slavers, steal oil from an oil tanker, or employ a hitman?
Whoa!
I'm going to employ a hitman.
Whoa.
Why is the tech shaman about to employ a hitman?
For the town leader. To trigger an election. Yeah. Finally make your bid for elected leadership of Hubtown.
So that you can lead everyone into the underground city, yeah.
You see, when there's a space at the top, you have an election. But obviously, once someone's elected, they're just the ruler.
Yeah. Dead man.
That's how democracy works.
Well, it is how elected monarchy works, so it's not implausible.
Yeah.
So that's my turn. Over to you, cult leader.
I will begin my turn. Describe something that you do every day because you want to find a good place to scavenge technology. Johnny heads out into excursions into the nearby apocalyptic wasteland. He takes an umbrella because it's a sunny kind of desert, and he heads out with his sombrella, and he swings by the burnt-out remnants of the domesticated suburban place that was once Hubtown and is now a desiccated wasteland surrounding it, and he'll sort of pour his way through what's left, maybe take a pilot light here, and slowly he's building a home. He's collecting all of these things to make a proper home. One with an oven, and with a microwave facility occasionally, and it also has a water bath and all the kind of mod cons, but he's doing it really piecemeal, one tiny little piece at a time. Today is different. I'm about to do something big. Steal a souped-up, weaponized car, lead the desperate survivors, repair and fly a gyrocopter.
Gyrocopter?
Yeah.
Gyrocopter, even better. Why is the cult leader about to lead the desperate survivors?
Building his congregation, he's gathering his flock around him.
He's discovered a small settlement outside town on one of his excursions, and he's going to increase his own power and influence
by
bringing them into Hubtown.
Yeah. They're people who've been rejected, exiled by the rat religion. and so he's telling them that they can still be embraced into the rat fold. They just have to take these small cybernetic modifications, like a pilot light for an ear. I didn't think that one through.
Also, we need to deal with the egg situation.
Have they been exiled from Hubtown because they broke their eggs?
Exiled!
Yeah. Exiled.
Yeah.
Nice.
They're exiles.
They're the ones that broke their eggs.
Yeah, of course.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay.
A huge plot point based on a terrible part.
Sounds like another rusty quill.
This is how I know I'm with my own people.
They even call themselves the Exiles.
Yeah,
the Exiles.
Oh, so I'm attempting to make myself leader of the Exiles.
Yep.
Nice.
Wicked. Rats do not reproduce with eggs, you tell them.
It's a conspiracy!
Okay, Pastor Mutants. So, Nut McKenna, describe something that you do every day because you want to kill people without being caught.
Kill someone.
But also hide the weapon.
Yes.
Collect knives.
Every day I sharpen a knife. I get up, I sharpen a knife in the morning. I take one of the teeth from my extended necklace of terrifying teeth and I sharpen that. Sometimes I pick my nails. I'll have those ones. Then I shove them through my hand because I have no nerves in my tuber. Look at Ed's face now. The colour of Ed's face is the face that my pustule-ridden hand is 95% of the time, except when one of my hand eyes is winking.
Oh, disturbing. For the listeners at home, you don't want someone saying all that while staring into your eyes.
Just a dead-eyed stare. From his palm.
Do we feel that sharpening knives and teeth is...
Yep.
Sharpening, yes. Yep.
Today is different. You're about to do something big.
Oh, lovely.
Avoid a sniper, provoke the giant ants, or plant a bomb.
Oh, I think you were like, we all know what you're going to pick there, James.
Why is a mutant about to plant a bomb? Yeah.
Because he really wants to kill people.
Because he wants to kill lots of people without being caught.
And that conveniently provides lots of
body parts.
Separate body parts.
Oh, yep. It'll be...
Jenga with...
I love the idea that you're going to not get caught, but you will be, in the devastation of the bomb, you'll be the guy going around picking up all the body parts, putting them happily in a bag.
Any criticism of our country's first responders is, frankly, patriotic at this time of Hubtown crisis.
You're right. What a good guy.
Oh, say, can you see?
And moving on.
Nut McKenna will be attempting to plant the bomb in the marketplace because that is where the greatest concentration of people is, will be.
The scientist. Describe something you do every day because you want to avoid bounty hunters identifying you. I dye my hair a new colour every day and pretend that it's an accident from one of my latest experiments.
I was really hoping you'd just go, no, it's always like that. Every day.
And wear a different lab coat.
Yeah.
Nice.
I forget that facial features are how most people identify everyone because I tend to work on clothing and colour.
Well, it's not even that you're changing clothing. You're changing your lab coats. I mean...
He's got many colours of lab coats.
No, that
trousers are so nondescript. It's because you're not a risk.
Today is different. You're about to do something big. Consult a crazy hermit. Get some black market cybernetic limbs. Eliminate a religious cult.
You can try.
I think this choice has been made for me.
Which cult?
Why is the scientist about to eliminate a religious cult? That's up to you guys.
Is it the exiles that you're trying to get rid of?
Well, I think that they're trying to get his bounty, so the leader will let them back into Hubtown, and they keep coming and breaking into his house and threatening him, so he's just going to wipe them all
out. It's sort of like I Am Legend, like the book rather than the film. But it's a bounty bar rather
than I'm attempting to eliminate the exiles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
To stop them trying to steal my bounty.
Right, so
yep.
Everyone's after them exiles.
Right.
So how are you trying to eliminate them again? Sorry, you're...
Oh, I haven't said how.
Oh, okay, cool.
Don't worry, my friend.
I'm just asking, you know.
Describe something that you do every day because you want to find out what's on a robot's locked data drive. I ask the robot questions. I stage conversations between the robot and the gun and myself. Really, I let Snappy lead the interrogation.
Good beast, bad gun. Is that the...
Yeah.
What I'm getting, the sense I'm getting here really is that you're playing the gun and the priest is like a minor character.
Pretty much. That is how the personality divide happens. That the priest is just a conduit for the gun's whims. So that's what I do.
Great.
Today is different. You're about to do something big. Am I going to burn the food stockpile, steal a flamethrower, or join the biker gang? None of those immediately tie in to the rest of it.
I don't know. So stealing a flamethrower because it will help you fire as purifier.
I like to purify things, and I'm really getting sick of this robot. I'm thinking that because torture doesn't seem to work. I mean, I think that I'm having a sophisticated interrogation. But really, it's a robot that can only say, like, yes, no, and would you like your ironing done? So, it's a very simple household robot. I'm like, tell me the secrets. Like, there is a hard drive inside it, and this stuff is stored encrypted on it, but it can't tell me anything about it. It can't read that file format.
This is what would have happened if Vader had got R2-D2, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, so...
What do you mean you're a .wav? I can only play MP3s! What do you want?
Yeah, it's sort of like that. So I am stealing a flamethrower in order to do that because it seems I feel like I'm betraying Snappy if I do that.
I think you're safe. I think you're alright.
I think it's Snappy who wants the flamethrower.
it's an attachment. Snappy. It's like a slot on under like nice. Under the barrel.
Yeah. Snappy is desperate to be, and I have to do what Snappy asks. Okay, you've answered the question then. Yeah. Why is the gun-toting priest about to steal a throne? Because Snappy wants it.
Snappy wants to cleanse. Snappy demands.
Snappy wants to be tricked out.
Snappy wants a hot bread to be strapped underneath him.
Pimp my gun.
Oh, wowza. Okay.
See, this is what happens when you bring us nice things. We ruin them.
And aren't you doing a wonderful job of it? So, another tutorial screen. So far, we've been describing the characters, their world, and their lives. Now we'll start narrating the story. When it's your turn to describe something, feel free to gesture, play characters, and even stand up and act things out. Why do I feel like that won't be a problem? One final thing. In some games, the characters meet up and interact, while in others, each character has a separate storyline. It's your story. Don't worry about it. Put a little voice on the end of that.
So we did that.
The tech shaman's screen. The tech shaman's first screen of this scene. Describe the scene as you employ a hitman. So, coming out of the market one morning, her bag now empty, Regina walks into an old alleyway which leads down into the seedier part of Hubtown. And there's a saloon there. It's got proper saloon doors that are blowing in the wind. And she pushes her way inside and scours the room, which is full of people sat drinking bizarre moonshine and leaning on old pianos which don't work anymore. She steps over to the bar, and sat at the bar is the town hitman. There's only one. You don't need many in a town this size. Also, you don't really need many professional hitmen.
The old one hitman town, that well-known
Well, there
trope.
Were others, but he's really good at his job. So she sits down next to the hitman and slides him a packet of money. The arrangement's already been done. He takes the money, everything she's made from her past year of selling technological knickknacks. He puts it in his pocket and he walks out of the room. He's heading up towards the palace. Oh, there's a palace.
They call it inverted commas.
Yeah, they call it a palace. It's got one more story than any other building.
It's a very Mad Max palace.
Yeah. He's heading up towards the palace.
Some of the walls are metal.
I hear he has a door.
It's a very well protected palace. It's a mined palace.
Nice.
You lost us again.
It's been mined out of the rock.
Yeah, okay, see?
Yeah. That's where I'm going to leave the start of the scene, and I'm going to introduce another element now. So choose which of these will now feature in the scene: bodyguards, mole people, or a minigun. I'm gonna go with the mole people. So, you guys finish narrating the tech shaman scene incorporating mole people.
So do we pass or does it just free pass?
Between you...
Well, the shaman is the one who's been exploring under the ground. So he already knows about the mole... She already knows about the mole people, has recruited them to her cause. And the hitman knows he can't penetrate this tough security of the palace alone. So you've arranged for the mole people to provide a distraction.
Nice. I want to high five you, but I feel like it'll go in the microphones and break everyone's ears.
So as the hitman is walking towards the palace, from a couple of the least used vents, a gang of mole people emerge and are scrabbling towards the palace from the other side.
Oh, and the mole people are desperately keen for this to go on because they really hate rats. They can't handle tons of rats, and that is why the leader is saying that rats are holy, because he wants the town to be overrun with rats, because that's where he tries to.
So as the mole people swarm towards the city walls, the first lookout cries out, "Moles! Moles!" The cries taken up by other watchtowers, and soon they're mounting their guns and taking shots at the mole people, who bury their heads in the sand, but in a really effective way that lets them get closer, but without getting shot.
They can go into tunnels, right?
Yeah, they dig in, and it's like you see that tunnel sort of thing going along the street. You know what I mean.
I'm waiting for them to start going, dog trio, dog trio, dog trio.
I think rather than just keep it in the realms of possibility, maybe rather than them digging slightly under the earth, making a mound as they go, why not say that they can go in the vents and like emerge places and garrot people?
Fine with your realism.
They're not, but remember, they don't want to kill the majority of the town, though, because they want to combine their civilization with Hubtown. Yeah. They just want to take out the ruler and his immediate family and bodyguards.
You're up, cult leader.
Ooh, cult leader. Okay, begin turn. Describe the scene as you lead the desperate survivors. So, in the blazing desert heat, yet still wearing a three-piece, not even holding his sun umbrella, the cult leader stands, not on a soapbox, no, on an actual podium that he's gotten the exiles to build, with little tattered sort of presidential-esque banners. He stands atop it and cries out to them, Now is our time! For too long our casseroles have been weak and flavourless! For too long we have been denied the succour of a good flambé! But no longer! This is our time! We shall claim Hubtown for ourselves! None of this egg nonsense! No, we shall embrace our rat brothers! Yes, we will take the old world, and we will take the ratty new world, and we will make a better world! Also, there will be cake! All of the crowd are going crazy, and then all riled up, they start to march. But not in a big way. It's more like everyone's out in a park for a stroll. There's lots of valises, and people are wearing dresses, and he's converted them to his way out in this barren desert, and is now leading this incredibly well-dressed, for what they could muster, group who are leading the most sort of sedate yet also enthusiastic coup in order to reclaim Hubtown. Okay.
It's like zombies. Like, scattering leaves, walking to war. Yeah.
Yeah. When you were saying that, it made me think of the phrase, a very British coup, which in a sense it is.
I feel like this isn't going to go well. Which of these now feature Sunstroke, Mutant Raiders, or Giant Scorpions? I'm actually going to go with just Sunstroke. Because
you left your parasol at home and you quite clearly... Yeah.
And also, everyone's wearing three-piece suits.
Please
and huge cotillion dresses.
Please incorporate Sunstroke into my coup attempt.
I'm getting the vapours, Sugar, as... one of the members of your crew gradually faints, and then they drag down on the arm of the next one, pulling a taffeta frond from the next, who gradually falls down, pulling down the next and the next and the next until...
What? What do you mean there's no more iced lemonade?
Steady compression of bodies choke those with the misfortune of being stuck at the bottom. And as the sun beats down on the desiccated flesh of your misguided followers.
To the few who are beside you who still walk, you say, "This is the price we must pay. This is a message sent by our god, the Cyber Rat, and he demands that we press onwards.
Only the truly faithful will continue with this fool's errand."
As you're walking along, the sunstroke is making you feel a bit dizzy and grumpy, and you just start having small arguments with the few remaining people.
No, the flag will be green! I've told you it'll be green!
Why are you always so aggressive? Why are you so aggressive? Just, like, you know, taking everything wrong.
Oh, I get it. Silent treatment now, is it? He's dead. Silent treatment, I see! And I think we should probably end it there, and we will return in a part two. At the very least.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
I was laughing at James's expression in jazz hands rather than...
It's anytime someone says the word bedazzled.
Yeah.
It's just, his face just...
Oh my God, I'm not saying that word again. That's scary.
I find it best to podcast with my eyes closed and a small white wall between me and everyone else.
So I don't have anything that you can't see behind this barrier. It's just because I can't look at your face.
The apocalypse is not going to be light and fluffy. This is more authentic.
Mike?
I don't know, I've watched Up. No, I meant Wally.
Adventure
Time.
Wally.
Yeah. Wally. Oh, yes. It really recontextualises Up if you think of it as a post-apocalyptic.
No, it's what happens is he gets to a really high altitude, freezes for a very long time, and he comes down. That wasteland isn't a different country. He went back home.
Oh.
Times change.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.